From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project.
Overlooking historic Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan, live from NPR Studios, this is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. News, information, death cab. I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Mike Pesca. It's Thursday, May 15th, 2008. Which death cab do you refer to, Rachel?
Which death cab might you be referring? Death cab for Cutie, Mike. Ever heard of them?
I've heard of them, and I've heard them when they played in our studios, and we're going to have some of that on the show. I believe that Death Cab for Cutie is a band that engenders strong reaction based on things other than their music. I think in some ways they've gotten an unfair rap.
Why?
Well, for one, they're putting this emo label has been applied to them, and I don't understand why that's a pejorative, frankly.
I like emotions.
Emo? Oh, I thought
I like men who are emotional.
I thought it was
is that what it means?
I thought it was the Red Muppet. You see, I don't.
You are so less hip and in the know than I am.
And I think the name of the band, just the whole, it leads with death. Death Cab for Cutie, and I understand it's the name of a song, but we were talking before, and I think you said. But there's Cutie in
there. Cutie totally countermands any negative vibes from the death.
But I think if it were Cutie Hail the Death Cab, you'd have a totally different impression of the band. I know it wouldn't be
that's
the song.
That's a story, Cutie Hail the Death Cab.
Yeah, that's a good opening.
Anyway,
line.
We digress. Why are we talking about this? As Mike mentioned, Death Cab for Cutie dropped by the BPP Studios. They talked with us. We had a nice conversation. They played a few songs from the new album. It's called Narrow Stairs. So you have that to look forward to in today's show. What else?
There was a gigantic announcement by NASA yesterday.
According to them.
Yeah. They found a supernova. The question is, why should you care? And we'll try to make the case.
Also on the show, getting aid into Myanmar. The military junta that runs that country is not letting a whole lot of aid in, as we've been reporting. At least one country, France, is proposing forcing aid into the country. They say, you know what? If not now, when? This is when countries need to band together, and we just go in there without Myanmar's permission. We'll get into the how and why of that story later on this hour. We'll get the day's news headlines in just a minute, but first...
The death toll in China has risen to more than 19,500, according to state media, making Monday's earthquake the deadliest in three decades there.
Transport planes continue to drop aid, and rescue crews continue digging for survivors. But hopes are starting to fade for the estimated 25,000 people still buried under rubble. And many of those who did survive are facing homelessness and water shortages.
The Chinese government has issued a rare public appeal for rescue equipment. NPR's Melissa Block is in the hardest hit region. She says the residents are giving the government's rescue efforts mixed reviews.
In the village I visited today, we heard a lot of anger directed toward local officials who people said were corrupt, were bad, were not taking people's concerns seriously, that the relief effort was not going well. At the same time, we heard great praise for the Chinese central government and how it's responded to this disaster. Remember that the Chinese premier, Wen Jiabao, immediately after this earthquake, flew to these most badly hit areas. He's been going to schools. He went to the middle school that I had been to, the school that had collapsed. He's been to hospitals that have collapsed. He's been out here. He is a geologist by training, by the way, so he would know things about earthquakes and what happens.
And Block says that aftershocks continue to make the region a scary place to be.
All through these past 3 days, we have felt a series of fairly strong aftershocks, magnitude 5 and higher. And when they happen, it's a scary thing. Buildings shift, and if you're sitting down, you feel the ground move. People come running out from under the eaves of buildings. No one wants to be near a tall structure in these villages that have already been badly hit, and the structures that are still standing are unstable. There's a lot of fear of what could fall down during these aftershocks.
But in spite of the dangers, rescue efforts continue, even as hope begins to fade for the thousands of people searching for their loved ones. Yesterday, Melissa Block spent the day with a Chinese couple frantically searching for their toddler son, who was buried under debris along with his grandparents. Here's a bit of that report.
Hours crawl by. There is no news. Mrs. Fu and Mr. Wang fall into each other's arms. It's now noon. We've been here for several hours. And Mrs. Fu has lost hope of finding her family, it seems. She's saying, my son, I should have taken you to work with me. You were asking me to take you to work. Her husband is telling her there's nothing we can do about it now.
I need you to stay strong. I can't lose you anymore.
The couple's long wait ended in personal tragedy when rescue workers found the bodies of their son and his grandparents.
But more than 72 hours after the quake struck, there are still some happy endings. Yesterday, Chinese state television aired video of a 22-year-old woman peering through a small opening in a pile of debris. She was pulled to safety a short time later.
You can go to NPR.org throughout the day for updates on this story. Now let's get more of the day's news headlines with the BPP's Mark Garrison.